everyone. We made it after a strange hiatus last week. We're back. Brandon, how you doing? Welcome to 8 Bits, everyone. We are back after a strange hiatus from a interesting political situation that happened right as we tried to stream last week. and as Congress debates things on the floor, we're here to talk with a very awesome guest. But Brandon, how you doing? How you doing in this very interesting week?
Oh, I'm good. I've been getting into more of the joys of homeownership. As you know, we just bought a house and moved up to Napa a couple months ago because, let's be honest, living in a city is amazing, but not so much during a pandemic.
Oh, yes.
And so, yeah, we moved up here and it's got a little chilly. So, you know, we ran the heater for the first time and let it run for 2 hours, and whole house smelled like gas. I was like, that's not good.
That's not good.
So, yeah, the last couple weeks for me have been, well, first of all, everybody's fine. We opened the doors and windows. The Pacific Gas and Electric, our gas company, came out and checked for leaks. And they basically said, oh, yeah, your furnace in the attic is missing an exhaust pipe. So, and also turns out that the reason it's missing that is because the roofers, when we bought the house, as soon as we bought it, we put a new roof on. So literally before we even moved in, bought the house, roofers came out, we moved in. They removed a roof vent that connected the furnace and, you know, dispelled all the noxious gases like carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide. And so, for the last, couple months, we've been living in this house. Fortunately, haven't been running the heater. And have been battling this problem for the last couple of weeks where the roofers acknowledge that they removed a vent, but they're very insistent that the vent wasn't connected to anything and that it's not their fault. And just like trying to get them to come back out here and say, hey guys, like, you did a great job on the roof, but I need you to put the vent back on, has been surprisingly difficult.
Quite an event, if you will. Sorry, everyone. I haven't told a bad dad joke in a week. We skipped for a week. Well, that is some drama, and I'm glad that you lived and did not perish from that.
I learned carbon. So, yeah, when the gas guy came in, he had this monitoring tool, and immediately the thing starts going off, and he's like, oh, wow, like that smell you smell? That's carbon monoxide. I'm like, oh, that explains this headache, like this. Like the worst headache I've ever had in my life. It felt there was like somebody's just driving a nail in the back of my head. And yeah, fortunately, like I said, no long lasting injuries. Well, I guess hopefully.
No, but Brandons were harmed in the noxious gas emitted from his home. Oh my gosh. Well, we're so glad you're here.
We made it. We survived 2020. Almost to only get taken out by our own furnace at the end of the year.
Wild. Now that I'm thinking of it, is this our first stream of 2021?
It is.
It is. Oh my gosh. How the time flies. Well, I don't have any. I do have a couple very important updates. One, as you can see, I have two very special guests in addition to our guests here today. Grogu, aka Baby Yoda. I just wanted to introduce everybody to my favorite new pal here. For those of you who don't know, I'm very obsessed with toys, and this is the most realistic toy I've ever had. And motherhood has been just great so far. So thank you to everyone.
It's creepy how real that thing is.
It also goes to sleep. It's my little son, Grogu, here having a little nap. But yeah, not too much has been going on here other than taking care of this little guy. Oh, he's sleeping. He's sleeping. I'm going to let him sleep. gosh, what's been going on? Okay, you need to hush up there. not a lot too much going on in my world. Seasons of Serverless, of course, has come to a close this week. Our wonderful Microsoft student ambassadors from Africa made a recipe tracking application using Azure. So definitely check out my YouTube for that. Really, really fun. It's been such a joy to work with our Microsoft student ambassadors during everything going on in the world. I know I say this all the time, but to quote Whitney Houston, I believe the children are future. And with everything going on, it's so nice to know that there are – okay. You agree? I'm so glad. It's so nice to know that the future generation is building really awesome, amazing apps that are helping the world in so many ways. For anybody out there who's not familiar with the Microsoft Student Ambassador Program, it's a really, really wonderful program that students can join, get involved with Microsoft. Also the Imagine Cup is coming up, which I'm super excited about.
That's right.
We're doing a virtual Imagine Cup this year since we're going through a global pandemic. But it's so amazing. I've been looking at these previous videos that Imagine Cup students have made getting ready for the next Imagine Cup. And it's so wonderful to see apps that are making a difference in the world being created by students who are at universities currently. Like, there's not a lot of good news today or just in general these days. But when I see like the amazing different things that help the blind see, that help like people who are able to participate in different activities that they weren't previously able to participate using Azure, using Microsoft products, helping the environment, it makes my tiny little Grinch heart grow 100 sizes. So shout out to all the Microsoft student ambassadors and everyone involved in the Imagine Cup for restoring my faith in humanity. Thanks, y'all. Ding.
Absolutely. It's so easy to kind of get caught up in all the other stuff in what we do, right? It's like, how many hours did you work this week? What are your OKRs? Like, what are you gonna, your performance reviews? And it's easy to lose track of or lose sight of the fact of why you got into this in the first place. Like, we can really change the world. We have the tools that can make these amazing things. And yeah, it's so refreshing watching Imagine Cup. And if you haven't heard of Imagine Cup, it's a global competition where groups of students come together and they make products using the Microsoft tools. So there's all sorts of crazy things like drones that can detect wildfires, or remember there's one for like diabetes and insulin analysis in real time. And it's just these amazing tools they put together. And then it's a competition. So kind of like a la Shark Tank a little bit, where
very Shark Tank, very bad.
Yeah. Like, they stand on stage and there's local, regional, national, and then global competition. So I helped out with one in San Francisco here a couple years ago and mentored a team. And yeah, we went through their pitch, because you get this 5-minute pitch where you have to show off your tool, whatever you created, and also kind of sell it, right? Like, here is what our growth plan is. Here's how much we think it's going to cost. Here's how many users we're going to get. And it's very, very inspiring and truly incredible. And yeah, as you win the local regional competitions, you move on. And eventually, yeah, there's this global competition. I guess the finale is held in, probably not this year, but every other year, held in Seattle, where, the winners from all these countries from around the world compete against each other. And then there's a giant trophy, and I want to say scholarships or money. Like, there's stuff like Azure credits, I think, like $100,000 in Azure credits. It's all of it. Like, the scale of it is truly amazing. And I'm almost disappointed I didn't know anything about Imagine Cup.
Brandon, we should talk, because I am this close to doing a, 21 Jump Street, Never Been Kissed kind of situation, where I go in disguise as a high schooler and like try to redo all of this over again and compete in the Imagine Cup, because the jealousy that I feel, I'm like, how did I not know? Like, similarly with the Jimmy Awards, which is kind of the Microsoft Imagine Cup equivalent in the musical theater world, there's this new competition for high schoolers to like compete in the musical theater Olympics, essentially. And I'm like, gosh, I just need to pose as a high school student. I look kind of young. Maybe we can, like, your hair is a little bit longer now, Brandon. I think we can do this. I think we just need to go in disguise. Compete? No, I'm just kidding. We'll let we work right now. But
like, why does she say lit all the time?
Yeah, why? No, I'm like, nobody says that anymore. Hello, kids. You know, but I couldn't agree more. I'm just like, I think this is the coolest thing. If there's a video that I will tweet out later of me at Build 2 years ago, interviewing some previous finalists from the Imagine Cup. And I want to do an edit of that video where I'm just zooming in on my face because I'm holding the microphone and my face is just like, oh my gosh, these people are going to be my boss someday. Like, they're so incredible and smart.
just hand over the MC job to them.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay. So true. Oh my goodness. Well, any other updates before we bring in our guests? I, of course, have some fun theme park news to share later that we'll get into, but I'm trying to think.
Let's jump right into it.
Let's do it. Okay, y'all. I've got a preamble for this one because I am such a fan of our guest today. For those of you who don't know, or maybe don't even know who I am, or don't follow me on Twitter or anywhere on social media, I absolutely love the art form that is drag. I attend DragCon every year, with the exception of last year, because obviously it was canceled due to Corona. My mother was a costume designer. I grew up in a household where very elaborate, fantastical costumes were being created. And as a woman myself, I know the power of transformation with makeup. It's hard to believe, but I wake up every single morning looking like a garbage trash pail. And then I put makeup on and I'm able to create something beautiful for the public eye. And I admire so many people who do drag, be it on RuPaul's Drag Race, be it at our local drag bars and communities that are now live streaming these events, because it's not only a performance art, but it's really an act of self-expression. I love, love, love everything about the drag community and what it stands for. Brandon, you and I have been to a lovely drag performance of Trixie Mattel together.
Incredible.
One of the most incredible concerts I've ever seen. And today, we have a very special guest who's going to talk to us about a bunch of things. But they are a technical drag queen, which I only know of about five that I can count on my hand. So, people of 8-Bits, welcome our very wonderful special guest, Jay Query.
Woo! Hello.
Welcome. Hi. Welcome to the show. Fabulous background.
We made it. Thank you.
We made it. You know, for those who maybe are not tuning in live and are viewing this as a back episode, we tried to do this episode last week and a coup obstructed us from participating in this conversation, but we are so glad to have you here now.
That's how bad they wanted to keep us apart, Chloe. They literally, the government wanted to keep us apart. The people didn't want this to happen, but you know what? It's happening.
I'm like keeping a close eye on the news here, but we are here. We're talking about it. Welcome to the show. Jay Query, do you want to introduce to the audience at home, give a little intro of yourself?
Hi, yes, I'm Jay Query. I do drag mainly for fun. I'm not very good at it. And I'm also... for like a job, I guess you want to call it. I also am a web developer. So yeah, that's me. I'm going to be honest with you. As a drag queen, I'm still kind of a baby. I mean,
okay.
So I'm still figuring things out. And my girlfriend is also a drag queen. And she's my girlfriend and my drag mom. So it's sort of weird. But it's not like that. Not that weird, guys. It's not like,
you know. So
it's appropriate.
A lot of people who are usually tuning in to the Microsoft Developer Channel maybe don't know what a drag mom is. So let's break that down. Maybe Brandon doesn't even know. We can kind of explain what this means. If you're looking for a great history lesson, highly recommend Paris is Burning. Great, great documentary on the origin and history of the drag club and scene. But yeah, let's talk real quickly about houses and drag mothers and what that is and what that means, because I'm sure a lot of people are scratching their heads going, a mom?
Yeah, so, no, you know what a class is in development, right? So a class, yes. I'm just kidding. I'm trying to explain it to people. And like, okay. No, but like, so a drag mom will be someone who typically puts you in drag for the first time, essentially, and that you perform. So a drag mom, and they have these drag houses of basically people who kind of like, it's kind of like clubs essentially, right? I mean, really,
yeah.
Especially when you talk about the houses, because these are all people that kind of like are there. That's their family of drag people, and they have typically one person who is the person that started everything off. So, I know I'm oversimplifying it, but like that's basically it. So the person who put you in drag the first time is essentially thought of as your drag mom. Now that's not always the case. There are a lot of drag queens who don't do the drag mom thing, and that's fine too. I know I've heard Trixie talk about that. She doesn't want to ever be a drag mom, which is fine. I get that too.
Well, motherhood is a big responsibility in the drag queen world and in the real world.
You're bringing them into the world. Yeah, you're almost birthing them.
Absolutely. So that's basically what it is.
There's a lot of history also to be learned, of course, this is a fictionalized version of it, but if anybody out there is looking for an education in this pose, kind of brings up a really interesting concept of, especially back in the 70s and even today, a lot of people who get involved in the drag community get ostracized from their families. So being part of a family, chosen family, I know is something I believe very strongly in and is a big, big word in the drag community. Chosen family and creating these, it's almost in the same way that we have communities in tech, like a JavaScript community or gosh, like the whole Kubernetes community, I feel like is almost a drag house in itself, right?
Yeah.
And so and
Ian Coldwater is the mom. So.
Yes, the mother. I'm going to share my. You have a YouTube channel as well that you're doing really awesome stuff on.
We do. We do have a YouTube channel, and it's Unknown Drag Queens. If you want to go check it out, it's myself and my girlfriend. Her drag name is Black Rose. And so with our drag channel, we just started it this last year. It is the result of being at home for the last year, every single day. So we started this drag channel. We tried to kind of get a feel for like what we wanted to do. We're still working on those things, but we really started getting our footing about 2 or 3 months ago when we started doing these reaction videos, and that has been huge. So we started off doing like reviews of Drag Race, which is a market that's pretty flooded. There's a lot of very popular drag queens that do all those things. No one's ever going to see our channel reviews of Drag Race. So we kind of tried some different things. And then I personally do love some reaction videos, especially music reaction videos, like people who have never seen like a certain genre of music or something or things like that.
jQuery, you had me at baby metal. Once I saw the baby metal video, I was like, subscribe for life.
Oh my goodness. They're so amazing. And that's been a thing too. Like myself and music throughout my life, like it's kind of been like, I'm either really into it or I'm just I don't listen to it at all. Like, you know, I love music, but it's not a part of my normal day. I just don't think about it. That's all. You know, I love it, but I don't think about it that much. I know a lot of people who just like this are like their whole thing. So watching these videos have been great. The reactions are authentic because we find things that like we definitely have never seen before. and so that makes it fun too, because you can watch the videos. Like there are bands and groups. And I was just talking to Rose about this yesterday. Like it's been a little bit like traveling, because what we've kind of noticed is that we started out getting a lot of views watching the Rammstein videos. So we were getting a lot of views from Europe and Germany like right away, and then we sort of like have been bouncing around. Like this last week we watched a video from a drag queen who's from Brazil, and it's an amazing video, an amazing song too. So we're kind of like jumping around all, but it's nice to see on the, you know, as far as the analytics are concerned, like see like we're actually getting views like in different countries and different areas and regions, and then you get comments from people from everywhere, so you get to learn different things, which is really cool too. So
Well, I definitely want to loop back about comments, because I'm sure we have a lot to talk about in the area of comments. But something that we love to talk about on this show are people's sort of like Marvel origin story of how they got here on this show today, how they got into tech. So tell us a little bit about how you are sitting here with us today as a drag queen in tech. How did you learn the tech part?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'd be happy to. Excuse me. I'm going to get some water 1 second here. It's dry here in the desert. Okay. So my journey to tech basically is after I finished 2 different degrees in business, a bachelor's and a master's degree, like literally like a week after I finished my MBA, I stumbled across a website that had something to do with code. And I instantly fell in love. And I knew as soon as that I started to write some of it, I knew immediately I had just wasted 6 years of my life on 2 business degrees. I'm like, this is what I want to do. It was like that quick. And so that was several years ago, but kind of like just took off from there. So basically I'm self-taught. I mean, I started learning using SoloLearn and CodePen for front-end things. And this is kind of interesting because as someone who had no technical background, I had to figure out, you know, basically this is problem solving. I had to figure out, how am I going to get my foot in the door with this field? So I spent a big part of the first year or two learning C#. Was my, because in my mind, I love it. I love C#. I really do. So I spent a lot of time learning C# as much as I could anyway. And I did go sit for one of the Microsoft exams. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I after like 6 months, I went to take one of the exams and I just missed it. Looking back now, I'm like, I'm surprised I even did that well, because it was so much information for someone who didn't have a technical background at all. So, that was my focus. I was like, okay, I'm going to learn C# and I'm going to get into a job using that. And then about 3 years later, or 3.5 years later, this is very ironic, my first job was writing PHP. So C#, like, I don't even use it anymore, unfortunately. But and I don't know how that happened. That's the day that I landed my job, I was like, okay, there's more luck involved with all this than I think we're all giving credit to. They were like, yeah, do you know? I mean, I had been working with PHP, but like not as much as I'd been learning C#. So it was weird to get a job using PHP as my first developer job, but that was basically it. I mean, there are a lot of little details, but that's the gist of it. That's how I got here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it's, I don't want to say I love hearing that it took 3 years, but I love that you're willing to share this journey with folks, because that's something that's always so tough. And I don't know how to solve this problem, but it's very well known in the community that your first job is always the hardest. And mm-hmm. that Amen. Once you get that first job, then you're kind of in, and like the next job, like, is much, much easier. So yeah, I'm curious, how did you spend those 3 years?
That's a good question. I appreciate that question, Brandon, because I'm a little older, so I have a lot of perspective on life in general, and I have a lot of life experiences. So yes, I do hate that it is so hard to get your foot in the door that first time. I have a lot of friends that have been trying to get into their first development role, you know, over the last 4 or 5, 6 years. And it sucks, because you root for them so hard and you do everything you want. You hope you can to help them, but you feel helpless. So yeah, no, I spent, okay. So basically I was working full time, and at a university for the first year of me just learning to code, I was working at a job I'd been at for like 12 years. As I was learning as much as I could from utilizing, again, as many online free references and resources as I could, I also was trying to figure out this plan. So fortunately for me, I live near a place where we have some different companies that hosting facilities, basically. Like I ended up getting a job with Bluehost. So it was a different way in. Like I could still kind of see how to get there from there. I had to piece it together. So again, it was a wonky way in. It's totally random. Yeah. So I got into Bluehost. I spent about 2.5 years there. I spent about 6 months working directly with Bluehost. And then after that, within Bluehost, they had a team that was being built for WordPress, specifically for WordPress. And I ended up getting on that team. And that was basically how things took off. Just working on the WordPress team. Still the entire time I was always, and you can ask anyone that was on the WordPress team with, I would always have a browser open working on code, like just learning as much as I could all the time, as much as possible. So, yeah. And they know because I would send everybody on the team. I'd be like, hey, check out what I made today or whatever it is,
Well, it's truly such a chicken and an egg situation. I think, we see this with PJ who we're mentoring. We see this with the folks that I mentor who are self-taught. How do you get the experience if you don't have the experience? And I think it's such an important thing to bring up because most of the best engineers that I know are self-taught or have gone to a boot camp or whatever method it is that has gotten them here. And that diversity in perspective is so, so important. So whenever I have people who come to me and say, where are all these diverse engineers? Like, where can we find them? We can't find them. I'm like, you're literally not letting them through the door. Recruiting software filters them out. It's hard enough. When I graduated from Hackbright, I was told you're going to have no problem getting a job because your network is so large and you know so many people in the community. Well, guess what? No one wanted to hire me because they're like boot campers. I don't know about that. Like, they need to get a little bit of experience first. Yeah. So I think, to get on my soapbox here, couldn't agree more. Like, it's a problem that we need to solve in this industry. Like, to get diversity in this industry, we need to hold the door open for these folks. Because how many amazing senior engineers do you know who are self-taught? Like, I know so many.
my boss is self-taught. And I will say this. I'm in a very weird, my job is a very, so I'm on a very small dev team. I'm on a dev team of basically three people. So I work in a very interesting capacity because the company I work for, we work for a company that, how do I put this? It's not a company that sells products like publicly. Like it's basically like they only sell things to contractors, essentially. Does that make sense? I guess.
Okay.
Like so B2B. So you can go on their website, but like for you and I to order things, we can't. You have to actually pay to have an account, that kind of thing. If that makes sense. It's a very big company, but like so anyway, my boss is one of the nicest, most kind people I've ever met in my entire life. He's also like a super genius, he's a genius. And I'm glad he's probably not going to watch today because like, you don't want his head to get any bigger than it already is. He's just like one of those people like you wish was your first person to help lead you in. Like he's that guy. Unfortunately, he's not the kind of person that I don't think he's that, but there's not a lot of people like him, I should say, out there. And it's unfortunate. I'm very lucky in that way. And I think about that a lot. I think about, and it's frustrating because I have a lot of friends. We know people that I know they can do what I do. Like I know that they're as smart as I am and I know that they work as hard as I do. I know they can do this. Like, and so, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm just rambling now.
It's interesting. Exciting. I see a lot of apprenticeships popping up. I see a lot of different methods and ways for people to get involved, but we need more. Like we need so many more if we're going to make a difference. So if you're out there and you're a hiring manager or you make decisions, make sure that I famously love to tell the story. I once tried to refer someone at a previous job for a role and they literally could not apply because the drop-down menu under degree only had technical degrees. So I couldn't even apply for a job at my own company given my theater degree. So think about these, this is an industry that is we build these tools, and most people in the room, you know, I'll say it again, fleets. If there had been one person from the gay community in that room, probably wouldn't have been called fleets. You can Google that, think that later if you want. But I love to see someone like yourself being out there, being proud about their non-traditional background, because the more we see it out there, the more evidence we have to go, look, like, there are people who, like, there's possible, nothing that says there's one way to do this. So thank you for all the work that you do around that. And thanks for helping get more people out there who.
Whenever I see something come to my Twitter feed, like, I try to, like, DM my friends right away, because it's like, hey, check it out. There's the position. And then just recently I had a really good friend and that I worked with at WordPress. And she was just like outing herself now, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
And I was applying like a machine gun, like applying like crazy that whole 3 years. Like, I was applying for anything.
Yeah.
Getting rejections constantly. And that's all I could do. You know, just keep applying. And I know that, like, you hear that a lot and it sucks, but I mean, it does work eventually, I think. So,
you know, I almost feel like all the rejection that I faced in auditions as an actress prepared me for all the whiteboarding and doors slammed in my face. So I'll ask you that same question then. You went to school and you got this, you know, for 6 years, it sounds like you got this 4-year degree that you went through. Do you use your business degree day to day in your role as a developer?
Not really. No. I mean, my undergraduate degree, I have appreciation for my undergrad just because of the extracurricular courses that I took. I think I did learn a lot about being a human person. And I think there obviously is value to a college education. And I believe a big part of it are the humanities type of courses. They helped me a lot develop just as a person. But yeah, no, I don't. I don't really at all. So no, it's one of those things where it's hard to tell. Like, I didn't even really 100% know for sure what I wanted to do with my business degree. I just knew throughout your whole entire life, everyone tells you, you need to get a degree. So I did.
Gotta go to college, right?
It's such an interesting thing that we do, where we expect, like, children, because I think I was under 18 when I decided my major, what they're going to do for the rest of their life. Like, I'm a firm believer now of the midlife career change, obviously, because I did one myself. But I think, you know, it's interesting because, like, clearly my acting 2 class, where I had to pretend to be like a cat for an hour, doesn't necessarily help me as a developer, right? But there's so many other ways that, well, you know, there's some improv involved, I think, with some of my things that I do. But I think even just the perspective, like, I couldn't agree more. I have a BA, so I took a lot of Native American studies classes. I took a lot of, like, women's history classes, and just learning, like, there's weird ways that my degree sneaks into my, but it's such a, people always ask me all the time, you know, if you could go back in time, would you get your theater degree? And sometimes my answer is yes, because I wouldn't change anything. But if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have gone to university. I would have attended a bunch of free meetups in the Bay Area, lived off of free pizza, and then joined tech a lot earlier. But this is to say to anybody out there who maybe has done this, who has gotten a degree in something completely different, who feels like, well, I put all my eggs in this basket, my ship has sailed, I have to do it. There's still time. You can still do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't sit there and sulk. I did it late in life too, essentially. So I had to have that moment where I was like, I'm either all in, or I'm going to, like, probably regret not even trying forever. So
yeah,
I just think, like, you know, you have to do it. I mean, if you love to write code and you really want to do this, like, you have to try.
Yeah. I was listening to, there's a great podcast called Code Newbie, and they're interviewing Danny Thompson. And I was listening to that episode the other day, and he made a really, really cool point that it just clicked for me that this is super relevant to what we were just talking about. He said that, you know, he didn't go get his degree because The way he looked at it, that takes 4 years. So he's like, that's 4 years where I will not have a job. The way he looked at it is, if you can teach yourself to code and you can get a job within 4 years, you win. Like, 4 years sounds like a really long time to be searching for a job. And, you know, jQuery, you're just saying you searched for 3 years, and it's a slog, but you still got a job quicker than the traditional route.
And absolutely.
It was like some really eye-opening perspective for me. It's like, oh yeah, wow, yeah, I guess if you do a boot camp or take an internship, like, you're going to, well, not that it's a race, but you're going to come out ahead.
Yeah. And also just in a barrier to entry, you know, for people like myself, I didn't have the time or the money or the resources to take 4 years out of my life to go to school for computer science. I was 25 or 26 when I did my boot camp. So I think there's a lot of interesting conversations that happen in tech around, like, oh, a boot camp, a 12-week boot camp, you can't learn how to code. But really, a boot camp doesn't teach you how to be an engineer. A boot camp teaches you how to learn a language. So similar to what jQuery was saying, you know, learning C# and not even necessarily using that in your day-to-day. I mean, same for so many of myself included and cohort mates, like, learning how to learn a language is step one. And from there, you know, you can go anywhere. But that's kind of the beauty of tech, in my opinion, is in theater, you work and you work and you work to become the best singer, the best dancer, you know, and you audition, and so much of it is out of your control. But the most wonderful thing about tech is 110% that you put in, you get back. And it's amazing to see people who have come from, oh my gosh, I've seen people who've come from fast food backgrounds, there's so many inspiring people that I follow online that have joined us here. And I'm like, thank you. It's a wonderful, it's a beautiful thing to see. But on the topic, let's circle back real quick to the topic of comments and the topic of being online, being very online. So I wore this shirt today. Girls just want to have fundamental human rights. I, of course, am a woman on the internet. And I must imagine it must be a really interesting thought experiment to present as a drag queen on the internet and to be a very forward-facing drag queen, not only on the internet, but in the tech community. Give us a glimpse into what that is like. I'm so curious and scared.
So you hit the nail on the head. It is interesting. For years, having accounts as, you know, as a boy, as a man, you remain relatively unnoticed, basically, if you're just a regular person. So, as I am. So when I changed my accounts over to the drag accounts, it was almost instantaneous that I was starting to get like DMs from men. I'm guessing, hopefully, I'm thinking that they're men. You never get any real legitimate profile photos. So, I have had DMs. There was one on Instagram that offered me $400 for a night. That's all it said. It didn't say what. I mean, it could have just been like, we're playing Uno. I don't know.
We need a website tonight to give you $400.
WordPress website.
That's not enough, sis. That's not enough. That won't be enough. But it is interesting to see the dynamic of, like, and I did have, you had those moments of like, okay, this is what women do go through, like, probably on a higher heightened level than what I receive. And I totally understand it. I don't get too rattled by it. Oops, I'm losing things. Sorry. Sometimes these boobs get in the way, as will happen. But I don't get too, like, I will usually take a screenshot of it and then just block the person because I just think it's funny to me. I've had marriage proposals. I've had a couple of those on Twitter just in the last few weeks. So, it's definitely very different and very interesting.
I've considered making a coffee table book of all of the strange comments and weird things. Coming soon, a fun announcement about some stuff coming to my YouTube channel. But I couldn't agree more. I think as a woman on tech, woman in tech, I should say, not on tech, who presents very feminine online. I find it fascinating. Actually, I tweeted something recently that said, is anybody having this Twitter bug where anytime you post an opinion online as a woman that someone either tries to write punch up on your joke or like has an alternative opinion? And it's been really interesting to me to see some folks in the community who identify as male change their profile pictures for a month to see, you know, what it's like to experience what this is like. But I'm very vocal about what I experienced because I think it's important for, I think that should be a requirement. People should have to experience a little bit of empathy and understand, you know, even when designing things like on Twitter, with the new introduction of fleets, terrible name again, anytime that someone responds to my fleet, it goes directly to my DMs. And that is a lot of noise. And it also invites a lot of, a new avenue of criticism and a new avenue of harassment. I posted a thread recently about having someone harass me in my DMs and then immediately make like 5 new accounts and I've blocked each one and they're able to come back. Like these tools exist where, you know, there are ways to prevent this. And I think the more people and the more voices that we have out there talking about these issues and making them apparent is important. But gosh, I cannot even imagine like what that must in a community where there's already women are the minority. I imagine that drag queens in tech are also quite a minority in this industry. Quick shout out to The Analytical, one of my favorite people on Twitter. Definitely give them a follow. But I want to say thank you, jQuery, for being loud and proud and sharing your story with us, not only of your origin, your background, but also what you experienced online. Because I can only imagine the emotional burden that carries.
Absolutely. No, it's also like kind of like I guess I don't think about it that much as much, but it's definitely there. Maybe I should think about it more because I try not to tweet too many technical things. Here's what you'll see from me on the technical side of things. Because there are so many people who do drag better than I do and do anything technical better than I do, right? Like, that's my mentality. Like, I do my best, but I know that I'm not, like, the best at either of those things. So, usually, if you see a technical tweet from me, it will be some random thought about some error that I'm having in Laravel or something. Usually. I'm like, I'll just say this. No one's gonna say anything probably. But yeah, no, I just want to take a quick second to let you guys know that on the television right now that Donald Trump was just impeached for a second time. I just wanted to. So last week we tried to do it and we didn't. We stopped because they. And then this week we did it.
We should have a weekly show because we're changing the landscape of American politics every time we attempt to have a show with you. This is quite a moment. Wow. Well, sorry.
That's crazy.
No, that's an important thing to bring up on the show. Well, I right before this, we have some people in the comments who have taken my advice to Google what a fleet means in the gay community, and again, I will get on my soapbox and say it is important to have diverse voices and perspective in the room, be it women, be it minorities, be it any. If we are building tools, we need to build them for everyone. And having those voices in the room is so, so important. I think we're seeing that with the political landscape now. I think we're seeing that with a lot of stuff. So getting off my soapbox, but thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we are in the final 15 minutes of the show, and I want to make sure we have ample time to talk about something that we talk about. I don't know how this started, but we talk about theme parks. Every time we do this show, it always comes back to theme parks in the end. First question that we have for you, jQuery, do you have a favorite theme park or a favorite theme park ride? We didn't ask you this before the show. Sorry to put you on the spot.
That's totally okay. That's totally okay. I will admit, it's been many years since I've been to a theme park. And looking back, this is something I actually just recently, like in the last year, have given like thought to. Like growing up as a kid, I went to several theme parks with my family, but looking back now, there was a summer where my my family took us to Dollywood.
Oh, and I'm so jealous.
And looking back, I actually messaged my mom like around Christmas time. I'm like, you know what? I literally was like randomly, I'm like, Mom, I just want to thank you. Because looking back now as a kid, like that was such a cool thing. Like because of who Dolly Parton is.
Yes, yes.
And how amazing she is as a person. And also, like, you know, going to Dollywood, it was super fun. Like that. So for me, Dollywood would be the theme park, the best theme park I've ever been to.
It's on my bucket list. Truly was having a conversation with my friend Amy, who I'm starting a stream with next week, about she's been to Dollywood. She's told me all the stories. It sounds like one of the most incredible theme parks. I'm shocked we've never talked about on the show before, Brandon. Have you been?
I was just thinking that. No, I haven't. I don't even know where it is.
Roller coasters are amazing. It's in Nashville? No.
Yes, it's in Tennessee. Yes, Tennessee? I think it's in Tennessee. I don't know if it's in Nashville or just outside, but yeah, I have like most of my childhood has been like deleted from my brain, but like I do have like vague memories of that place. The Grand Ole Opry is like, yes. I think it's in the park possibly, or it's right there. And I remember going there and that was crazy, but the park is fantastic. Yeah. If you get a chance, definitely check it out.
It is. Honestly, I have a group chat with a couple gals and our plan, as soon as there's a vaccine and everything is safe, we're going straight to Dollywood. It's like, what are you doing now? I'm going to Dollywood.
You beat the coronavirus. How are you going to celebrate?
Wow. I love Dolly Parton. Shout out to Dolly Parton, friend of the pod. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't agree more. I also hear that the live stage performances, like the live stage shows at Dollywood, are really epic. And if anybody has watched the Dolly Parton Christmas special that came out, my theory is that that's just a movie version of one of those. So I can't wait to experience it in person someday. I'm going to call you. I'll call both of you. I'll be like, get in the car, losers. We're going to Dollywood. Let's do it.
I would love to go back. I'll be honest with you. I would love to go back and visit it again because
it's happening. We will share this clip and we'll be like, remember when we planned our trip to Dollywood?
I'm in.
I have a special thing to share that is, I will say theme park adjacent. so I tweeted something over the weekend. Here, let me share my screen here. That had to do with this article that I read that I highly recommend checking out if you're, of course, familiar with Fry's Electronics. There was this really interesting SFGate article about the disappearing history of the Bay Area's themes Fry's Electronics stores. And I had grown up with a Fry's in Sacramento, California that was not themed, but I had a bunch of people in the comments here tell me about their local Fry's. There's so many here. There's one that is a slot machine. There's one that's Alice in Wonderland themed and tiki themed in Woodland Hills. But I learned about something, y'all, that has blown my mind called Incredible Universe. So if you've never heard of Incredible Universe before, many of the early Fry's stores were turned into an Incredible Universe. And these were stores that basically were theme park tech electronics stores, hence the theming that many of these Fry's electronics stores have had in the past. And I have to say, I am so depressed that this doesn't exist anymore. I want to go back in a time machine and experience Incredible Universe. It is like a Disneyland theme park. This is their recruiting video here where they have a fake Siskel and Ebert talking about Incredible Universe. Here, this will give us a nice little visual of what it looks like. But the amount of jealousy that I feel that I never got to experience, they used to have live karaoke. Someone commented on my tweet here saying, oh, here's some Drag Race tweets, that there was karaoke that would be live at the Incredible Universes. People would actually participate in store-wide karaoke contests. And I'm thinking to myself here, Brandon, why are we not working at an Incredible Universe?
The thing I love about those video clips you just shared is they're just peak 90s.
Yes.
Because not only is everybody dressed in like exactly how you picture the 90s with, you know, big clothing, kind of like, I would say mismatching colors, but like bold, bright colors, like purples on greens. But then also you think about it, like that store could not exist today. Because
look at her polo shirt.
We have the internet. Yeah.
How big is that polo shirt? And the pleated pants? Like, come on now. Yep, that's very 90s. You're very right.
All like very like two sizes.
Pleated pants. pleated pants can be like.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, I went down a fascinating rabbit hole where I was looking at all of these kind of like archaeological-esque walkthroughs of former Incredible Universes and quickly discovered from the layout and the landscape of the Fry's electronic store that I grew up with that it was designed to be a theme park. And all of these things started clicking for me on, you know, the Fry's that we had in Sacramento had this big marquee that would flash. And like it, there was, and you look at all of these marketing materials, it was very much inspired. It was by the people, I believe, who were behind Radio Shack, and a lot of the different employee guidelines and things, you know, people were called cast members, the behind the store or the backstage, I guess, you know, we called at the Disney store when I worked there, kind of like the let me go check in the back. The entire area was designed to give live tech demos to kind of show off. It was based off of CES, actually, from something that I read, that they wanted to recreate the Consumer Electronics Expo floor, just basically in a retail capacity. And
cool.
I'm so sad.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Right?
The concept of that is actually kind of cool. Yeah.
We love going to conferences. So this is my plea to anybody out there watching this video. I think we need another Incredible Universe when Corona is over. Because I experience entertainment technology in its truest 80s, 90s form. We got to keep the 80s theme, though. That's like my one stipulation. but definitely, if you're looking for a fun rabbit hole to go down, check out this Incredible Universe recruiting video from 1996. I am very upset that in the same way that I never got to experience Nickelodeon Studios and Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, I am very upset I never got to go to an Incredible Universe.
I want to see Chloe in that giant polo with those
oh my gosh.
Pants.
Should I cosplay it?
I feel like we should.
Thank Looking
you like
for
an
that.
HR rep.
I feel like this is going to be for 12 people, but I'm going to do it.
Worth it.
Give the people what they want, Chloe.
Yeah. I mean, have either of you ever heard of this? This was like brand new information for me. Like, I feel like I'm pretty into tech nostalgia, but I've never
heard of it. I had never heard of the history of that. No, ever. But I mean, obviously, Fry's, we have them in here in Arizona. We've got two. And ours is the Gulf one and the Aztec one.
Ooh. Which
I had never been to the Aztec one until a couple of years ago. That's actually where I got this chair. But I remember going there and thinking, why? Why is this? This could just be a square building. Why are there things all over the place? Like, but the thing about Fry's
to find...
is like, there's so many things inside of Fry's that you get distracted. For me, like I get distracted from that thought immediately though, because there's 8 million products. So yeah. So, but it is, I always thought it was sort of strange that like, why is this? What has happened here?
And someone, the official Fry's account, I should also mention. So one of our coworkers, Brian Benz, shared that the one in Vegas is a slot machine. And the official Fry's account commented and said that there's a button that actually lets the slot machine like do a thing. So I'm so tempted to do a road trip and go to every single themed Fry's store before they close down. Cause I was so upset to read this SF Gate article that I never got to do the Silicon Valley one, which I believe there's a Western one. I also just learned, I think there's one in Houston. That's a NASA themed one where you can do like a rocket launch simulation inside of it. So let's bring back theme parks to electronic stores, please. I need this. I need this desperately. But oh my gosh, look at how cool this is. I'm so like,
that's really cool.
There's also an Alice in Wonderland one in Woodland Hills that a bunch of people on Twitter were sharing with me. So I think we got to do it. Fry's road trip, y'all. I think I'm ready.
<That'd be> cool.
I don't even have a reason to go to Vegas, but I'll take it. Speaking of Vegas, we had tickets to go watch Drag Race on the Strip for August.
Last August?
Yes.
I feel like everything fun event-wise, and maybe in the final couple minutes of the show, how does it as a drag queen, for folks who don't know, a lot of performances are live. Like, there's a lot of live performances at drag bars. There's, of course, we're seeing kind of the transition into live performance right now with drive-through drag shows in Los Angeles and a couple other areas. What is it like as a drag queen to see this scene change with technology? Like, how has that been from your perspective?
I have very unique perspective because I just started doing drag this last year.
Yeah.
So for me, all I know is digital performances. So it's really strange.
Sure.
So even just getting to kiki with other people is actually crazy fun for me right now. So it's interesting to see the change. I mean, from what I understand from like people who do drag for a living, you know, obviously it's very difficult. It seems very difficult for, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I do think, and I've watched some of the digital, you know, digital drag shows over this last year. I think visually you do get a chance to do some things that maybe you wouldn't be able to do if you were just going to someplace locally, which is really cool.
I mean, we love a green screen moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, and also just like different like places from around the country and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I think I'm thinking back to like the Drag Race season 12 finale. They had to do the entire thing online.
Yeah.
What was interesting was like Crystal Method did.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Peeking into each other's, like, you would never be able to do that in a live show because she had to play two characters. It was crazy. So
yeah.
Like,
and for folks who maybe aren't familiar,
some good art has come out of it.
The format of the Drag Race finale, usually it's this huge, it's in Hollywood and they have a live audience and hundreds of thousands of people, or not hundreds of thousands, thousands of people come to see it live. And there was this unique opportunity to do it. Well, they had to do it from home. And I was just going to say, Crystal Method's like green screen, like it, we're seeing art that couldn't be previously created. And I think in times of struggle, like, we create really beautiful art. I always used to joke around that I was always close, had the closest friendships and bonding relationships with actors of the worst shows that I've been in, because we had to kind of band together as a community. And I think it's been very interesting to see the entire, of course, the even as a presenter, and I'm sure you can agree, Brandon, giving a live talk or presentation and getting that immediate audience feedback is so different than what we're doing right now. Like, it's lovely to see the comments, but a laugh, applause, like, fuel performers. So jQuery, I can't wait to see you perform live. I'm going to be like first in line with my ticket, like wherever it is on, maybe it'll be in Vegas by then. Well, you'll have been on the recent season of Drag Race.
I've been practicing my first lip sync ever. I did a few weeks ago. I did Fiona Apple, Fast As You Can. Not a good song for your first lip sync. I love that song, but it really is so fast. You can ask my girlfriend, I spent like all day in the bathroom shooting this thing. And I'm like, Fiona, you need to slow down, girl. I thought it was going to be a cakewalk, and I'm like struggling super hard. So no, I definitely want to go and perform someplace at some point once it gets to that point, you know. I like to think of myself as like, I'm not in the NBA, but I'm like in like the D League. You know what I mean? Like,
same.
I'm at a point in my life where it's like, I'll never probably be at the NBA level. And I'm okay with that. I do drag because I love it. It's fun. I feel like a superhero when I get in drag.
Yeah.
Like it is, if you've never put makeup on before, people, try it, because it is crazy the difference in how you feel. It's really crazy. I'll do things in drag. Like, I'll spontaneously do things like I would never normally do. So. Which is fun for me personally, because I'm normally just a pretty boring person. But like when I get in drag, I feel, jQuery is cool. And then me as a boy is pretty boring. So I don't know. I heard Trixie and Katya mention that the other day. Like, they were like, if you invited us to a party as guys, no one is going to care. But we show up. But if we show up like this in drag, that is the party. You know?
That's an event.
That's like part of the fun thing about being in drag. Like, you just instantly feel like a little extra spark. I don't know what it is.
Well, you said that you're not an NBA player. You're my NBA player. Like, I'm drafting you onto my fantasy league. I'm loving everything that you're doing. Where can people find your stuff? I imagine Twitter, YouTube. Where can people go follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. Twitter, you can follow myself or Unknown Drag Queens. Or if you want to, my girlfriend, she's the co-host on the show, me. It's Black Rose Queen is her tag on Twitter. Also Instagram, all of those. And then, of course, YouTube is where our – if you want to watch two knucklehead drag queens reacting to really cool music, you can come check us out at Unknown Drag Queens on YouTube. We might be expanding out to different kinds of videos here eventually, but we're always going to kind of keep reaction videos in like the stable because we love doing them. And I don't know if this has been a thing because of the quarantine too, but people love reaction videos for some reason. I love watching them myself. So they're just keep sort them of coming. Interesting.
Yeah. <They're so> interesting. We'll do a reaction video of your reaction video. It'll be like recursive reactions.
I was going to do some tech videos in drag. I feel nervous about it. Analytical does so well. I mean, I feel like I would just be like, go follow Analytical instead, because like she's crushing it in that regard. So I get nervous about doing something like that.
Well, I'm gonna call you. We're gonna do some collabs. It's the end of the show now, but I feel like this is just the beginning of doing really awesome, fun streams together, jQuery. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
And well, thank you, Brandon, for having
me. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Brandon, I'm gonna let you, it's the new year. Help me close this out. I'm gonna give you the honor.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us yet again. If you want to catch up, we do have an 8Bits podcast out there, so make sure to subscribe to the 8Bits podcast as well. That way, you never miss an episode.
But I would recommend watching this one because the visuals are great. Great visuals.
That's right. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye.